chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. Hope I'm not standing in your way. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of His precious and His eternal word. First of all, let us just recognize that we're talking about a vessel. And when He's talking about a vessel, He's talking about this human body. He's talking about us as a person being a vessel. What's a vessel for? Well, what's this plastic cup for? It's so it can hold something. Now, it's serving a good cause because it's filled with nice cold water. It makes the preacher feel better when he takes a drink of it. But it can be sitting empty, and actually a vessel that's empty is not fulfilling what it's supposed to be. A vessel is made to receive something inside of it. Now, when we were created with this vacancy that needed to be filled. Human beings need to be filled with something. We have a place, and when we stand and praise God, we find ourselves in this position. That's an opening. That's a vase, if you will. And there are all kinds of vessels in a great house. So when we look at that, we look for the opportunity to fill this vessel. Now, chances are there are no empty vessels in this house right now. We're all filled with something. And we have a choice and an opportunity to choose what we're going to be filled with. So when we look at ourselves, we find ourselves an opportunity for God to fill us, or for Satan, for that matter, to fill us. So to be useful, to be fulfilled, a vessel must be filled. Now, I once would have told you, and medical science would have agreed with me at the time, but not now, and I would not tell you that now, that when you were born with a completely empty vessel, and it all had to pour into you. The truth is, you aren't born with an empty vessel. From the time of conception and recognition in the womb, the truth is that you are being filled with sounds and words and feelings even before you're born. What's happening outside the womb? See, we talk about, oh, we could see the little baby with ultrasound. We could listen to it with a stethoscope, or put your ear against mommy's tummy and you can hear what's going on in there and the things are going on. The truth is that these babies inside of mamas are already from conception learning. And sadly, some of these little babies are born addicted to drugs, to alcohol, to nicotine, and have to suffer the consequences of being that way. So we're not necessarily born with a completely empty vessel, we found out. Now, it's true, year one of your life, you learn more in that year than you do any other year that you'll ever live. And you say, even someone who's getting a PhD, even someone who's getting a PhD. Because when he started his first year in life, he had to learn everything. Words, sounds, feelings, sight, walking, crawling, all the things had to be learned that first year. and recognition of people around them, all of those things. Well, here we are, and more than one time, not just in this scripture, but more than one time, the Bible speaks of us as being vessels. Clay vessels, wood vessels, gold vessels, silver vessels, empty vessels, filled vessels, full vessels. All kinds of vessels are talked about in the scripture. Well, he's talking about the church. And he writes to Timothy, this is his second epistle to Timothy. And he's talking to him, and it's his final shot at Timothy to get him to live a holy and an upright and a good life and make full proof of his ministry. And we have no other record but that Timothy didn't succeed in doing that. But as we read it and as we look at it, we find out in a great house, the church, there are many vessels, all kinds of vessels. Now, we don't display some vessels in public. Some vessels are dirty, filthy. We don't bring the garbage can and put it in the foyer of our home on a mahogany table. We don't bring the garbage can in to do that. Why? Because it's a vessel of dishonor. It's a vessel of refuse. It's a vessel that, while it serves a function, does not serve a function that you would want to see or to be part of or to look at. No, what do we do with the garbage cans? We put them in the back. We put them under something. We hide them from someplace. So when we come to the house of God, we in this house at this moment, there are all kinds of vessels. There are some vessels that are half full. Some are filled and running over. Some that are useful and some that are not useful. And so when we look at it, Paul says to Timothy, and he begs him from a mixed multitudes standpoint, when the trouble that Israel had so much of the time in the Old Testament, and you have to ask yourself, why when Moses went down to Egypt and all of the things happened that happened, And the power of God was demonstrated so great in Egypt, demonstrated in opening the Red Sea, demonstrated on Mount Sinai. After seeing all of that, and manna come down from heaven, and quail in the evening, after all of the demonstration of the power of God, how is it that Israel cannot seem to get it right? Part of the reason was that there was a mixed multitude. Israelites were not the only ones that Moses led out of Egypt. Mixed in with that were those who came from a different background, from a different standpoint of thinking, from a different standpoint of spirituality. And as we go through the scripture, we find time and again that Israel fails because they have tolerated in their midst a mixed multitude. They have people there, and every church is this way. Now, the church, I'm talking about the universal church, is perfect at any moment you want to speak. But any local church, I don't care whether it's this church or any other church, has a mixed multitude. There are people in the church who are mature, solid Christians. And there are people in the church who are baby Christians, who are starting out and they have to be dealt with and they have temper tantrums and they make messes and they turn things over and you have to deal with that. You don't throw the baby out because it has a problem. You clean up after the baby and teach the baby not to have a problem and to grow till the baby no longer produces those kind of problems. So when you have a church, you have people of all kinds of spiritual conditions. Now, in addition to that, when you come into the church, you come in carrying some baggage. Every one of us comes in carrying some baggage. Now, my baggage was different than your baggage. My baggage was, well, whatever had happened here in Clendenin and in this ministry, and I had to deal with it, and sometimes still have to deal with it up here and in here. And I have to think about it. You may have come from a totally different church background than we do. You may have come from no church at all. You may have come in from a family that didn't go to church. I know families that don't go to church, but they give lip service to the existence of God. I know families that don't ever darken the church door, don't ever, and I'm not talking about this church, but any church. Going to church is just not part of their lifestyle. I'm sad for people that are in that position, but it's true. And when they come into the church, they come in with preconceived ideas of what the church is, what the church ought to teach, what the church ought to be. And it takes unlearning as well as learning to be what God would have us to be. So here we are, we're vessels. Well, you can go back to the Old Testament, you can go to the New Testament, and you can talk about the potter at the wheel, and he has the clay, and he makes the pot, and you can be real Calvinistic about it, and you can say the potter has absolute control over the clay. He can make any kind of pot he wants to make with it. He can do anything with the pot he wants to. He can throw it away. He can keep it. He can work on it. He can rework it. And all of that's true. But the truth also is this, that in the context of what Paul is writing to Timothy, he's telling you that the vessel has a choice of whether it's an honorable or a dishonorable vessel. What you put in, you're not going to get anything better out than what you put in. Amen? Whatever you put in, that's what you're going to get out. You're not going to put in all the garbage of the world and get spirituality out of it. You're not going to put in this, that, and the other of religion and get the pure thing out of it. You have to learn to be the vessel that God wants you to be. And you say, well, how can I do that? Well, he has a prescription for it here. He has, well, maybe we call it a four-step plan. And you say, what's the first step? Purge. Clean the vessel up. There's no point to me bringing a garbage can in here that's not being cleaned up and put your dinner in it. How many of you would want that? How many of you would want your dinner delivered in a garbage can? I don't think so. Not many of us would want that. Maybe the dog or the pig or the possum or the buzzard. But not you, not me. We don't want that, do we? So when we talk about a vessel that God can use, a vessel that God can be in, the number one step for that vessel to be an honorable vessel is for it to be a purged vessel. It has to be cleaned. We all need cleansing. We need our minds cleansed. We need our bodies cleansed. We need our spirits cleansed. We need to purge ourselves from all of the filthiness of the flesh and the dirt and the grime of this world. And yes, I know that sounds like separation. And you say, well, I don't know. Used to be, among the holiness people, a message of separation would have brought down a chorus of amens from everywhere. Used to be in the old shouting Methodist church, in the down-home Baptist churches in the South, a message of separation would have been a message that everyone would have amened, that everyone would have looked forward to. We believed that we needed to come out from the world and to be separate from the world and to change our lifestyle to be conformed to what would be a Christian type lifestyle. So he says, purge ourselves. That means repentance. That means conversion. That means changing. And I have to tell you, purging involves scrubbing and cleaning and all of that kind of thing, doesn't it? We have to work on ourselves. And you're not going to be purged if you keep putting the same garbage in the same old can. If you keep feeding this with pornography, bad ideas. It's amazing how much power ideals have. Bad ideas. whatever, you need to purge yourself, cleanse yourself, and that involves praying. That involves studying. That involves working. And then he says, and then when you're purged, you need to be sanctified. Well, there's a word that don't get used much in church anymore. Sanctified. Used to be sanctification was an emphasis. And you say, what does it mean to be sanctified? It means to be set aside and dedicated for the glory of God. My brothers and sisters, your God will not housekeep with the devil. Sweet and bitter water cannot come out of the same fountain. You cannot be of the world, in the world, and doing the things of the world, and loving the things of the world, and loving Christ and being what you should be all at the same time. You cannot be entertaining Satan and his imps in your house and entertaining the Holy Spirit all at the same time. To be sanctified, go back to the Old Testament. God's going to come down on Mount Sinai. He's going to come with fire and thunder and lightning and all those kind of things and bring the commandments of God down. And he says, get ready, tomorrow you're going to have to meet your God. Well, how are we going to get ready? Going to take a bath. Everybody in that congregation had to take a bath. Everybody in that congregation had to wash their clothes and fix their hair. Everybody had to prepare themselves to be a separate and dedicated person to God. Not just the priest, not just the Levites, but the whole house. And throughout the scripture, we come to the thing of sanctification. We are set apart to the glory of God. We are set apart for His, and we're dedicated to Him, and we belong to Him. And then a vessel meet for the master's use. One of the most misunderstood words in the Bible, I think, is meet. Meet, M-E-E-T. You say, well, I know what that means. That means me and Lucille go meet here at the piano. She comes up, I come up, and we're there at the piano. Yeah, that's right. Make ends meet. We use it that way, don't we? Make ends meet. You know what it means? It means suitable, compatible. If you're going to be a vessel meet for the master's use, think about it, suitable for his use, you're going to meet his criteria. You're going to meet the requirements that it takes. You remember, I guess one of the most misquoted scriptures in the Bible is in Genesis. And everybody, and I heard it all my life, God made Eve a helpmate for Adam. Mate has never been in that scripture, never has been, never will be. It's not about mate, helpmate. God made Adam a help, and this is the adjective, meet for him. A help that was suitable for him. God had just presented Adam with every animal on earth. Horses, cows, pigs, chickens, whatever. All of these animals had been brought before him and he had named them. But for Adam, there was not found a help suitable for him or meet for him. So what does God do? God made him a help meet for him, suitable for him. My question is, are you in a position to be used by God? Are you in a position morally and spiritually and emotionally to be meet for the master's use? Are you there when he calls? Are you ready when he calls? See, he tells us to be instant in season and out of season. I run into this nowadays all the time. If you're going to get somebody to preach or get somebody to do something, you have to give them a lot of warning, because if you don't, they're not prepared. If you've got a job to do, you should be willing and ready to do that job whenever and however. Whenever the need comes, we need to be able to do that. So we have to be a help, purged, sanctified, suitable for the master's use, and what? Prepared, pliable. Very often, we fail at being what God wants us to be in the work that He has called us to do because we're not pliable. We cannot bend. We break before we bend. Isn't that sad? We're not ready to do the work that He's called us to do. He wants us to be prepared. In fact, He talks about us possessing our vessel. You're in charge of this vessel. God has given you a vessel that needs to be filled. And the Scripture goes to great lengths to tell us that we do not need to be drunken with wine wherein is excess, but we need to be what? Filled with the Spirit. Say that with me. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you some people's going to say, well, when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit's there no matter what. It surely is. You could not be forgiven and redeemed and saved without the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, there is an infilling of the Holy Spirit even beyond salvation that God can fill you if you will let Him. And you say, do I have a choice? Yes, you do. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, we ought to be filled to hear and what? Running over. Drinking from the saucer, as they say. So He tells us to possess our souls. But you say, but how am I going to do this? How we live in a sinful world. We live in a hateful world. And if you don't believe it's hateful, just watch the campaign going on. Maybe we'll be over it in 2 weeks, huh? Or well, at least we won't have to listen to it. But there's a hatefulness. Have you noticed there's a hatefulness among human beings? That's sad. And when I look at what's going on, we don't just live in a hateful world. We live in a dirty world. There's bad stuff going on. There's human trafficking going on. There's people being sold as slaves. You say, oh no, that ended in 1863. I wish it had. One form of slavery did end in 1863. But I'm telling you, people are slaves to addictions, to drugs, to alcohol, to sex, to all kinds of stuff. And people need to have that purging and that cleansing. And you say, well, how are we going to do it? Well, I'll tell you what Sister Mills used to tell her children. When they get out and they get in a fight and somebody beat up on them, Sister Mills would say, we're talking about Granny Mills, she'd say, children, a good run's better than a bad stand. She's got a point. A good run is better than a bad stand. What does, you know, for all my preaching, and just a while back I preached about David and how he ran toward the giant, how he took command of the battle and said, the battle belongs to the Lord's and I'm going to trust Him. And he gets his slingshot out, and boy, that preaches good, doesn't it? And he runs toward the giant and he destroys the giant. And you say, hallelujah, that's great. But there were times in David's life that he should have run. There's a time to stand and there's a time to run. Read Ecclesiastes. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heavens. When David walked out on the top of his penthouse and looked down over Jerusalem and noticed Bathsheba taking a bath on the roof of her house that was below his, he should have run. He should have run as fast as he could have run. But he didn't run, and because he didn't run, he brought a curse on his family and on his life. When Samson went down to the valley of Sorek and Delilah asked him to lay down and put his head in her lap, he should have run as fast as he could run. And let me tell you something, kids. When they come up to you and they got a joint or they got a pill or something and they're offering it to you, run as fast as you can run. If there's a confrontation going on and people are going to fuss and growl and carry on, you need to run away from that. You need to get out of it. That's why I included verse 22. I originally was going to do 20 and 21, and then I needed to include verse 22 because the way to keep this vessel honorable is to run. And my friend, we need to run from the face of evil. We need to run from the face of that which is not good. And we need to be what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Scripture talks about it. If you read through the book of Acts, read through the stories of what was happening in the church, and you know what it'll say? And so-and-so being filled with the Spirit. Peter gets up to preach on the day of Pentecost. Yes, they were all filled with the Spirit. But listen, time and time again after the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Spirit. The Spirit would well up within them. The Spirit would come down from heaven and they would be filled with the Holy Ghost. And He tells us, be filled. Now, that means you have a choice in it. So I have to ask you today, and I almost entitled a sermon, what are you filled with? You're a vessel. You were born with very little knowledge, but a little bit you had. But as you grew, you were filled with lots of things. And when we came to the point of salvation and redemption, there are things that we needed to purge out of our vessel and get rid of. But there are things that we need to take into our vessel. You need to hear, to read, or in some way to absorb the Word of God. You need to know what God has to say to you from His book. You say, well, I don't read all that well. You live in a wonderful day and age. If you can get on the computer and do Facebook, you can certainly get on the computer and pull up the Word of God and sit and listen to the Scriptures being read to you. You can listen to what God has to say. And the Word of God is more available in America right now than it's ever been in the history of the world. You can go into any Walmart store and find a discount price Bible. But listen, there are very few evangelical churches like ours that you can go in that somebody won't give you a Bible for free if you don't have one. Giving away Bibles is a good thing. My mother had a ministry of it. She had Bibles piled up. We still got Bibles stacked up. There were mothers. We try to get them to preacher students that need study Bibles in countries where they don't have the Bible like we do. How fortunate we are. How you can hear the Word of God. I'm amazed. You know, sometimes we have the radio ministries and I wonder if, you know, does anybody hear? And every once in a while, it just shows up, and I think, oh my. I was in the bank the other day, and one of the couriers came in with the money and whatever, and one of the tellers pointed to him, and he looked and pointed at me, and he looked back and realized who it was, and she said, he listens every morning as he drives the money truck. He listens every morning as you preach because he wants to hear the Word. Isn't that great? Absolutely. You live in a wonderful time. There are churches everywhere. I come down in our mountain villages. You can always look down over them because you come down from the hills beside of them. I come down into Pembroke and I see the Lutheran steeple sticking up, the Christian church steeple, and the Methodist church steeple, and the Mormon church steeple. And when I would look up the creek, I could see the Church of God and the Assemblies of God. Man, that's just in one little place. And it's true in Parisburg and Narrows and Rich Creek and Peterstown and all the surrounding. You live in a great time. There are churches, Bibles, teaching, opportunities on every hand around you. And I challenge you, my friends, I beg you, be a vessel of honor. Purge out all the bad stuff that's in there and fill it up with the good stuff. And you say, well, there's so much on TV. Well, then don't watch it if it's affecting you bad. Don't watch it. You say, well, you know, it's hard. Well, it got knobs on it. Well, buttons. I dated myself there, didn't I? I don't know any TV that's got a knob on it. They all got buttons. And you say, well, I just can't help. Then get it out of the house. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. If your right eye offends you, pluck it out. You know what he said? And Paul didn't say that. Jesus said that. So my friend, purge yourself. Separate yourself, sanctify yourself, make yourself suitable for the Master's use and prepared to do His work whenever it comes up to be done. Amen? All right. Father, I thank You this morning for Your great love and Your marvelous mercies. I thank You, Father, for redemption and salvation and all the blessings that You've given us. And Father, as we check ourselves this morning, we ask You, Father, as we inventory our lives, have we purged ourselves? Are we sanctified? Are we meet for the Master's use? Are we ready, prepared to every good work? Oh, Jesus, I pray that You'll bless the ministries of every person here. Lord, there are people here who have ministries of prayer and people here who have ministries of visitation and people who have ministries to preach and all kinds of things within the church of God. We pray, Father, that the Spirit of Jesus will invigorate us and stir us this morning as we look at the Word of God, as we share the Word of God. Lord, that Your blessings will be upon us and touch us, and Father, we will not fail to praise You. And Lord, for all of these needs, we ask You in Jesus' name. Amen.